The golden chain of our salvation that stretches from glory past to the glory to come, as far as we're concerned. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Lord, please, will you bless our time tonight as we consider for the last in this series this amazing passage. Amen. The golden chain is all Christians, those in the text you have in front of you, those were foreknown by God. They've always been known by him. He knew them in a special way. Then the way that Adam knew his wife and she conceived a child, that's the way he knew us, with an intimate love. He foreknew us. He loved us before the dawn of time, we're told. Those who he loved before time, he predestined. A word that's not politically correct nowadays, but it's a very biblical word and we should rejoice in it. God had a plan right from the very beginning. That's what predestined means. A plan to make us like Jesus one day. We're not going to apologize for that. God had a plan in making the world. He's all wise. Of course he had a plan. Those he predestined, he called. He called by his Holy Spirit, who opened us up, opened our eyes, illuminated us to the truth. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified means totally wiped away their sins by decree. Those he justified, he glorified. Does that strike you as a little bit strange? Glorified? Doesn't the Bible say again and again that God will not share his glory? God alone is glorified. You'll read stories in the Old Testament when some stupid character tried to take the glory, and what happened? God just wiped them out. God killed them. Remember Herod? When he was praised for being a god, what happened? He was eaten by worms. You don't take the glory of God. For all eternity, God and God alone is glorious. But then how can we read here tonight, those who are justified, that's us, are glorified?
I wrote a couple of words here. Might help you, especially for those who are Greek at the moment. What is doxa, glory? Ever heard of doxology? Doxa is glory. Doxetzo means I glorify. This is the word used. What does it mean? It's not glory, it's glorify. You must understand this. To glorify means to shine glory upon. Do you understand that? We are not glorious people now that we're saints. We'll never be glorious. God alone is glorious. We are glorified. In what way? God's glory has shone upon us. And I'll show you why just now. The example I gave this morning, and I'll give again briefly, is Moses. He was up on the mountain. And what did he say to God? Lord, show me your glory. And God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and showed just the back parts of the glory of God. And Moses came down shining. His face was so shiny the people were afraid. They covered his face up. Now, what happened was Moses was glorified on the mountain. In other words, the glory of God shone upon him, and the effect of God touching Moses with his glory was glorification.
The sign that he was glorified was, well, he just shone. But notice here, does that apply to us? Are we glorified? We're not shining, are we? We're told all those foreknown, predestined, called and justified, the four links of the chain, are finally and ultimately glorified. If you claim tonight to be a Christian, the Bible says, well, you've been glorified. This is not referring to the coming age. This is where many people misunderstand the passages. Not referring to the glory that is to be. Do you notice it's in the past tense? I've written it here. Notice the same word, doxa. But it's e doxa sen. That little sigma there, that funny letter, shows it's in the, what they call the aorist. Why am I telling you this? Because aorist means once and for all, done and dusted. It's not done and it's sort of carrying on. It's done. It's complete. And the profound thing about what Paul is saying here is, those who were justified, God has finished, sewed it up, glorified you. If you're a Christian, you're glorified. So the question tonight is, how, in what way, are Christians glorified today? And the answer is this. We're conscious being... I bet you like me sprinkling on here. It makes me feel like a school teacher, so let me do it. We are conscious beings. What do we have as creatures that no other creature on earth has? Reflective consciousness. Dogs are conscious, but they don't know they're conscious. They're just conscious. We're reflectively conscious. We are able to reflect upon our consciousness. Does that make sense? God made us that. The theologians call reflective consciousness, who knows a bit of Latin? Come on, you'll know that, don't you? Imago Dei, we're in the image of God. It doesn't mean we look like God. The image it's referring to is the image that a mirror gives back to the face that looks into it. Because we are conscious, we are able to image God's goodness and glory back to him. We say we're in the Bazelem Elohim. We are in the image of God. We reflect the being of God. Let me try and explain how that goes. Are you going to see where I'm going now, and then you're going to see what sort of questions we want from you? You're conscious. No other creature in the world is conscious. You're able to reflect on the wonderful things around you. And God is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. God created us, therefore, to enjoy consciously the goodness of God and to acknowledge that goodness back to him. We were created to enjoy life. And our enjoyment of life is the reflection of God's own goodness. He gave you senses like taste and smell and sensation and sight and hearing. And when we use these things in his beautiful world and we appreciate the things he gives and we realize from whence they come, the reflection of that, well, it should be what? Gratitude, appreciation, glory given, humility. Come on, you go on and on. But these emotions you should feel when you feel the goodness of God and experience it is why God created you. God created you to enjoy. John Piper has a wonderful way of explaining what I've done so badly. He said, Christians are supposed to be spiritual hedonists. Who knows what a hedonist is? Someone that lives for pleasure. Do you know we were created for pleasure? But not fleshly pleasure, God-glorifying pleasure. I used to think when I was a kid, before I was a Christian, that to be a Christian is to sort of have to be miserable. And God didn't want you to be happy, you know. When you went to church, you had to look like you were sad, even if you weren't. Because, you know, you were supposed to be sorry for all the bad things you are. And it's quite surprising when you suddenly realize the opposite is true. The Westminster Confession of Faith tells us what? Let me read you the catechism, the very first question and answer in the catechism. This is probably the most famous expression of Christian faith. Sorry, some water. Question. Westminster Catechism, question one. What is the chief end of our being? What does that mean in modern English? Why are we here? What's the purpose of an existence? Here's the answer. The end of our being is to know God and to enjoy Him. We were created, well, let's put it this way. We were created and saved by the grace of God so that for all eternity we could reflect in our joy and our gratitude how good God is. Your sense of wow is a reflection back to God of His greatness. And He created you for all eternity to say, what a God, what a life, how beautiful, how wonderful, how merciful. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 11 and 12 says this, we are saved to the glory of His grace. To the praise of His glory is the whole reason why we were created and ultimately saved. So when we say, yes, we're saved, we're saved for a purpose. We're saved to enjoy God. And if you want to do your duty as a Christian, if you want to worship God in the way He created you, be a happy, thankful, joy-filled person, and God is glorified. We're to be Christian hedonists. Okay, we come to the last little thought on how I'm going to wrap this up for your questions. You were created to worship God. You were created and saved to the praise of His glory. So worship is the end of your existence. And while we're on earth, we're preparing and practicing for the worship and glory we'll have in heaven. Worship is not plucking harps on a cloud. It would be very boring after the first million years anyway, wouldn't it, of doing that over and over again. The more joy you feel, the more thankfulness you feel, the more relief you feel, the more wonder you feel, the greater God is gloried. Your joy is God's glory. That's why He created us. So now let's go back to Romans 8. Those He foreknew, He predestined. Those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified. He wiped their sins away. And those He justified, He glorified. He created you to be worshippers. That's what it means. Now, we have so much controversy in our churches about worship, don't we? Even in this church, we've had people moaning. You know, you get some people that say we hang down our hair too much here. We lift up our knees too high, you know. We're too wild. People have said that. They said, that's churches. We're a bunch of hippies in this church. Well, that's dated anyway. We're a bunch of whatever you have nowadays. But then you get other people who say, oh, we're so dry and dusty and stodgy in this church. We're one foot in the grave. You know, the tragedy is this. People don't realize it's not about the instrument. It's not about the manner of worship. Because I've been in cultures where it's knees up Mother Brown and waving the Bibles and dancing. And I've been in very conservative churches and felt God's glory in both. It's what God puts into your heart, bursting out. That is worship. God's got to glorify you before you can give God glory. And if you haven't been glorified, you can't worship, even if you can sing like old, I don't know who sings great nowadays. It's not about the music. It's not about the style. It's about the worshipper and how that wonder and gratitude is felt. And I'm sometimes ashamed of our churches that we've taken away the wonder of what God's given. He created us worshippers, and we fight over styles and, you know. So we'd love to hear your questions tonight on worship, on how we should be worshipping, on what a true worshipper is, on what it means, or anything you'd like to ask us about the chain of God's salvation. Right, you've got about 10 minutes to drink tea and chat and write down your questions, and the elders will be with you in about